You're listening to 20 Minutes Max. I'm Max Morgan, and these are the headlines. Excitement reigned in Westminster at the beginning of last week as rumours began circulating that incompetence redefining harbinger of self-inflicted famine, Theresa May, had secured a Brexit withdrawal agreement that would appeal to precisely no fucking one, causing Jacob Rees-Mogg to begin gleefully sharpening his favourite back knife, and Jeremy Corbyn to head down to his allotment for a fucking courgette frittata and a spot of quiet contemplation. Excitement gave way to confusion the following day, as it was announced that Theresa May would make a statement to the press following a meeting with the Cabinet. Then it was announced that she wouldn't make a statement to the press following a meeting with the Cabinet, before finally, 3 hours later than expected, she made a fucking statement to the press following a meeting with the Cabinet. In the statement, May dishonested her fucking tits off by saying that the deal had the support of those assembled, which literally the entire fucking country knew was absolute horseshit, but she still said it anyway because she's a lying bastard. Predictably, May's cabinet unity was laid bare for all to see the following day as the cunt started resigning left, right and centre. Dominic Raab, Esther McVeigh and a bunch of other wankers you've never heard of and are never likely to hear of again all fucked off, citing their hitherto woefully underutilised consciences as deciding factors in their resignations. This made for a decidedly difficult Commons appearance for the foreigner-hating sociopath later that morning, as an endless procession of MPs from all parties stood up to tell her how much they respect her, before launching into a 30-second tirade of insults relating to her face-melting ineptitude and space-time fracturing hypocrisy. May responded in her usual fashion by shitting out endless repeats of the same misleading statements, half-truths and barefaced fucking lies, all interspersed with her chosen ill-conceived and shamelessly dishonest soundbite for the day, in the national interest. The session lasted for 3 hours in total, which is a long time for anyone to stand there and listen to their colleagues tell them they're as much use as a Dairy Lee dildo, but in this instance, it was far from unwarranted. The day ended as the previous one had, with Theresa May staging a press conference in number 10 in an attempt to convince the world that everything wasn't going to shit in front of her lifeless fucking eyes, as she spent a further half hour or so saying national interest over and over like a fucking shit grey parrot that hates brown people. May appeared to be on the verge of tears throughout the event, in a way she never managed for Windrush or Grenfell, leading many to wonder whether she might be a heartless fucking sack of arse who is only able to display genuine emotion about stuff that affects her own selfish interests. The conference ended with a frankly bizarre statement in which Theresa May declared her undying admiration for racist, woman-beating cricket wanker Geoffrey Boycott because he always gets the runs in the end. As will the rest of us, Terry, when we're living on fucking mouldy turnip and boiled rat. As usual, the BBC remained strictly impartial throughout this whole affair, with senior Newsnight journalist Emily Maitlis very neutrally declaring Mrs. May to be magnificent and impressive, in what was yet another example of stuff that makes people say, "Is this really what I'm paying my fucking license fee for? You're not even trying anymore, please just fuck off, you absolute shits." Friday was characterised by the same ass-bludgeoning incompetence that the Prime Minister has displayed throughout the negotiations, but this time by her opponents, as innumerate cockwipe Steve Baker first declared they had the 48 letters necessary to force a leadership contest, with a few to spare, then declared that he nearly had the required number of letters, before later declaring that he didn't even know what a letter was, and why would you send a letter anyway when everything's done on email these days. It is indeed comforting to know that if Theresa May is eventually removed, there's an endless supply of equally fucking useless dick flaps ready to take her place as supreme bastard. We were also treated to the distinctly underwhelming will-he-won't-he spectacle of Michael Gove considering his future in a bid to divert the media gaze in his direction for a few hours, leading many to wonder why someone with a mouth like an inflamed dickhole would want anyone looking at them if it wasn't strictly necessary. In the end, the nest-feathering little cunt decided to stay put at Defra, causing the rainforests to let out a silent wail of despair, and everyone else to let out a weary sigh of indifference at the naked fucking self-interest of it all. On Sunday morning, both the Labour and Conservative leaders appeared on Sky News' Sophie Ridge programme to back equally ridiculous stupidity turds out before an incredulous nation, with Mrs. May accusing the opposition-phobic opposition leader of playing party politics, when it was her own party's internal bickering that ultimately lit the blue touch paper on this inexorable Catherine wheel of shite. Not to be outdone, Mr. Corbyn responded by looking at an actual fucking quote from actual fucking Jean-Claude fucking Juncker, where he said that Britain wouldn't be offered the same benefits outside the EU as if they had remained a member, and dismissed it as an opinion, before stating that a Labour government would provide the exact thing the actual fucking president of the EU Commission has explicitly stated is not on offer. Monday got underway with Theresa May launching into full bastard offspring of Enoch Powell and some shit mode, as she accused EU migrants of queue jumping in her rivers of piss speech to the CBI. Following a somewhat justified outcry about her comments, she later launched into full bastard offspring of Donald Trump in an even larger quantity of shit mode, as she categorically denied saying the thing that she definitely fucking said and was captured on video saying. This descent into Trumpian madness, whilst all but inevitable, is somewhat depressing, as it comes with the knowledge that all we'll have to look forward to punctuate the endless bleakness of the post-Brexit hellscape, are feverish campaign rallies where angry, slogan-chanting racists call for Frau Mailer to build a wall around the entire fucking United Kingdom and throw Jeremy Corbyn in the fucking Tower of London for not knowing how emails work. Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 8, which this week is entitled Who Knew It Was So Difficult to Count to 48? So, where to fucking start? It's been quite a week, and in many ways it feels like the past 2 years have always been leading up to this point. It was always going to reach the stage where, if a deal was struck, it would be unacceptable to both sides because, as the fucking EU have made abundantly clear at the outset, there isn't an option available where leaving is better than remaining. Fittingly, when it did start to fall apart, it did so in utterly farcical fashion, from May's will-she-won't-she press conference, right through to the will-they-won't-they no-confidence vote. It was layer upon layer of farce, like a shit tiramisu that we're all supposed to fucking gag down with grateful smiles on our faces while making enthusiastic yummy noises. That first press conference, the one where she wasn't about to burst into fucking tears at any second, was just fucking ridiculous. Why stand there on national fucking television and say that the cabinet has agreed something, knowing full well that it was all about to start going tits up the following morning? My fucking dog predicted there'd be resignations, and his only real areas of expertise are biscuits and farting. And whilst it was delightful to see the back of concentrated nugget of bastard Esther McVeigh, finding out a replacement was to be Amber Rudd, whose voting record on welfare benefits is just as fucking abhorrent, by the way, kind of took the shine off it. Arrogant fucking penis impersonator Dominic Raab was also on his way out, leading many to state, somewhat amusingly, that he'd resigned in protest at his own deal. And as amusing as that thought is, I'm not sure it's strictly correct, given that May made it clear she'd left the bottomless fountain of incompetence in charge of nothing more important than toner cartridges within his first fucking week. So, she was on shaky ground before she even headed into the Commons with a glitter-sprinkled turd of a deal. and she must have felt like a gentleman waiting for his annual prostate exam during the great lube shortage of 83 as she took a seat. It started off entertainingly enough, as MPs of all parties made it clear that she'd fucked the pooch on just about everything. But over the course of the 3-hour session, even this became somewhat mundane and repetitive. An MP stands up and spunks out a few platitudes about respect, public service and whatnot, then proceeds to tell her she's a waste of fucking oxygen. She sticks up a couple of lies, craps out a belligerence or two, and sits down and waits for it all to start again. The depressing part about all of it, though, was that no one really got down to holding her to account for her lies. She stated over and over again that leaving the single market and customs union would deliver on the outcome of the referendum. And they all just sat there and let it happen as though they'd forgotten that the ballot paper made not a single fucking mention of such matters, and that prominent members of the Leave campaign had actually explicitly stated that no one is talking about leaving the single market or the customs union. They also decided to let her repeated assertions that giving people a chance to either change or affirm the decision in light of new evidence is in some way betraying them. Like, if I offered her a fucking box of Maltesers, let her take one and then told her it was actually a rolled up ball of my poo, would she consider I'd betrayed her by giving her the option not to eat it? Eat the balled up shit, Terry. Changing your mind is for wankers. It's just so endlessly fucking depressing, though, that our parliament seems to be utterly unfit for purpose. I mean, there was some amusement to be derived from seeing the reprehensible jug of piss lambasted from all sides for a few hours, even if they did fail to get to the heart of several key issues. Another thing they never picked up on was her use of the term national interest, which is surprising, seeing as she said it a total of 347 times during the debate, and a further 219 times during the "Is she going to piss herself on live television?" press conference later that day. Of course, the reason she's so fucking reticent to publish the economic impact statements on a deal is because they're absolutely fucking certain to reveal that it's most assuredly not in the national fucking interest or anywhere near. And I don't think anyone actually believes it is, including May herself. Despite her pig-headedness, she has the demeanour of the sort of prick who's in the throes of attempting to sell petrol to some poor cunt whose house is on fire. The deal doesn't satisfy Brexit wankers because, far from taking back control, it actually hands control over to the EU in a fancy little box with a card marked "Please enjoy all this control we've decided we no longer require, love the UK." And it doesn't satisfy Remain voters because it's demonstrably fucking worse on every conceivable level than just staying in the EU. But there's been a not-so-subtle shift in rhetoric from the government in recent weeks. No deal is better than a bad deal is gone. It's out of the fucking window. Because once they started looking into what no deal would actually mean, it became chillingly fucking clear that it would be an absolute disaster. "Let's give an extra £350 million a week to the NHS" has been replaced by "Your great auntie Beryl might actually fucking die as a result of shortages of previously readily available medicines," a warning apparently given by the health secretary in this week's cabinet meeting. And they know now that literally any fucking deal, no matter how breathtakingly shitty, is better than no deal. This was evidenced by a piece in the Times on Sunday, where it was reported that there are plans afoot to deploy the army on Britain's streets in the event of a no deal. The fucking army. We're not under threat of invasion by some hostile foreign power here. We're not at war. But we're going to need troops on the streets to stop the whole place erupting into violent chaos because we can't get hold of insulin or fucking Mars bars. And needless to say, the leader of Her Majesty's opposition has been as much use as cunting lizard tits throughout the whole sorry fucking affair. In what's been a desperately fucking shitty week for the Conservative Party, Jez has been as noticeably absent as the intelligence in a Trump intelligence briefing. Now, I made a comment about this on my Twitter account earlier this week and received a string of smug, never interrupt your enemy when he's making a mistake type replies from wankers. But you see, what these daft cunts are missing is that the mistake his enemy is making is shitting in the drinking water when we've all got to fucking drink it. And watching your enemy fuck up becomes a whole lot less entertaining when there's a fucking poo in your tea. And even if we assume that they're referring to the implosion of the Tory party rather than Brexit itself, and we choose to ignore the obvious point that Brexit is the biggest symptom of that implosion, I don't want him sat on the fucking sidelines grinning like a wanking chimp as they drive their metaphorical car into a wall. I want him cutting the fucking metaphorical brake cables and putting a metaphorical brick on the metaphorical fucking pedal. Just, you know, doing his fucking job for once. The fact is, the silly old twat wants this. He wants it every last bit as much as Jacob Rees-Mogg and the assorted cunts of the ERG want it. His reasons might be slightly different, but his ideological commitment to the whole thing definitely isn't. If you need any evidence for this statement, look at the bollocks he spouted on Sophie Ridge's programme on Sunday. I can't work out if he's being fucking delusional or dishonest. I suspect the latter, but either way, I wish he'd fucking stop it. It's insulting to the intelligence of every Labour voter to expect them to believe that he can secure a deal that gives us exactly the same benefits as if we'd stayed in. Does he not think the Tories have tried that? Does he think if he walks in there with a kindly smile and a pot of fucking allotment jam that they'll just cave in and give us everything we want? Does he think the president of the EU Commission was lying when he said, fucking repeatedly, that no deal they offer will be as beneficial to a country leaving the EU as it would be if they'd stayed in? I mean, why in fuck's name would it? If everyone could get all the good bits without the financial commitments and other responsibilities, membership might just start to look like a slightly less attractive proposition. Hi, this is Sky. Certainly, Mr. Corbyn. Of course you can have all our channels for free. We'll even chuck in a new Ultra HD telly and pop round every third Tuesday with a case of Peroni and wank you off while you watch the 10-minute freeview on XXX Cougars. Fucking prick. Still, it's all going to be okay though, because this week, Michael Gove, Amber Rudd and three other fucking tossers are going to sit down and rewrite the whole 585 pages of the thing that took about 100 people 2 years to cobble together. Unilaterally, of course, because why include those meddling cunts from the EU, right? Not entirely sure what they're planning to do with the result of this most futile of endeavours, but I suspect the answer is whinge like fuck when the EU tells them to piss off in a further attempt to destabilise the government and agitate racists. That fucking Gove is a snivelling, greasy, unlikable, shitty, nasty, weird-lipped little cunt, isn't he? Spending a full fucking day considering his future like he's some kind of fucking kingmaker, when it's obvious that all he was really doing was waiting to see whether the 48-letter threshold for a no-confidence vote would be reached, so he could stake his claim for the leadership. And all the time he's edging his fucking bets in this most nakedly self-serving manner, his nauseating evil bastard of a wife is on Twitter, calling for everyone to pull together and set individual considerations aside. Fuck them both. It's a shame I don't believe in hell, because if ever two individuals deserved an eternity in a lake of fucking boiling piss, it's those two repellent shites. For now, though, it looks like things have settled down for a bit. They've replaced Esther McVeigh with some other awful piece of shit who was sacked 6 months ago for misleading Parliament about the illegal deportation of British citizens. They've replaced the dribbly fucking cock from the Brexit department with something called a Steve Barclay, whatever that is. And May has returned to saying absolutely fucking reprehensible things in speeches, then denying them a few hours later, and everything is just fucking peachy. Right, that's Brexit dealt with for now. What else have we got? Oh yeah, the UN report into poverty in the UK. It would be remiss of me not to mention this, because amid all the Brexit tomfoolery, it doesn't hurt to remind ourselves what a uniquely fucking heartless, nasty collection of megacunts the distinctly unpleasant electorate of this selfish, backward little shithole has placed in government. Now, bearing in mind that this report relates to the situation as it stands now, and that things are likely to get a whole lot worse after March of next year, the UN described the government's austerity programme as punitive, mean-spirited and callous. This is the fucking UN, not an opposition politician trying to score points, the United fucking Nations. The report stated that changes to tax and benefits have taken the highest toll on those least able to bear it, and that people in already vulnerable groups, including women, poor people, ethnic minorities, children, single parents, asylum seekers and people with disabilities, are suffering the most as a result of the choices of this government. And they are choices. Poverty in a country with an economy the size of ours is a fucking choice. As expected, the government circled the fucking cunt wagons and made themselves the victims of the extraordinarily political language of the report, without acknowledging for a second the harm they are quite maliciously inflicting on those they're charged with protecting. It's to the eternal credit of Channel 4 News that they chose to lead with this story on the day that all that Brexit shit was kicking off, as they once again embarrassed the fucking terminally inept cunts at the BBC by taking a moral stand when it was necessary to do so. Perhaps the senior journalists at Broadcasting House were too busy posting misogynistic attacks on women on their Twitter accounts, launching misogynistic attacks on women live on the Mar Show, or calling the PM magnificent and impressive for wanting to fuck us all in the eye with the strychnine-covered dildo of self-shafting stupidity. Quick word on Trump. I know I did loads on him last week, but he's been a right ball bag again. This week, he stood there on the fucking telly and stated that the reason a country with one-third of its fucking landmass in the Arctic Circle doesn't suffer with forest fires like California does is because they do raking and stuff. It also emerged today, in a fucking hilarious twist of fate, that his daughter Ivanka has been using a private email server to send government emails. I know. At the time of recording, he hadn't called for her to be locked up, though I suspect when he does get around to it, his preferred site for her incarceration will be his own fucking bedroom. We also had International Men's Day yesterday, which, whilst it's important in many respects, doesn't alter the fact that we're still at a fucking huge advantage if we happen to be born male. Misogyny pervades our society, our institutions, our legal system. All the time a woman's underwear can be used as a successful defence for rape, we should probably be using this day not to think about ourselves, but to think about how we need to do better in our approach to women. Not that that means men shouldn't see any benefits from the day. Misogyny and toxic masculinity go hand in hand. Defeat one, and you automatically defeat the other. Stop seeing femininity as less than masculinity. Stop viewing the expression of emotion as a sign of weakness. Stop promoting a culture where real men are uber macho pricks who won't take no for an answer, and everyone benefits. Except maybe the uber macho pricks, but they can fucking eat shit. Right, that's about it for this week. Just a quick word on today's Trans Day of Remembrance, which you may have noticed has been trending for much of the day on Twitter. Trans people suffer violence disproportionately. They are murdered at disproportionately high rates, and they take their own lives at disproportionately high rates. There are a lot of horrible, worthless fucking bastards around who will state that being trans is, in itself, a mental illness. It's not. That's a nasty fucking lie designed to deflect from the real reason trans people suffer mental illness. The reason our trans friends are killing themselves at such desperately upsetting rates is largely down to the way they are treated by society, by individuals, and by a hostile media. Do you really think that if trans people were accepted, loved and valued for who they are, given access to appropriate treatment and support, and allowed to live their lives free of abuse, there'd be a 40% attempted suicide rate amongst their number? I fucking don't. The good news is, it's within everyone's power to help. Let people know you're a trans ally. Be visible. Read up on trans issues. Speak to trans people and, if they're willing to answer them, ask questions. There's a lot of negativity out there at the moment from cunts like Glinner, who have fucking huge platforms, which they use exclusively to be hateful fucking barrels of arse gravy. Why not try to offset some of that nastiness by tweeting something positive about trans people this week to show that they're not alone, that the majority of cis people support their right to live normal lives without being the target of the frothy-mouthed hate of narrow-minded wankers. I hope you'll be able to join me next time when I'll be talking about more shit that's happened. I'm Max Morgan, and this was 20 Minutes Max.